Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I'm very excited for today's guest. We are going to be talking dirty magazines, which you're going to have to go onto the onlines to see the pictures of, but the conversation will be equally as stimulating. I'm very excited to introduce the founder, editor-in-chief, and creative director of Jacques Magazine, Danielle Leader. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted. I am so intrigued by, first of all, just the premise that in this millennium, you're putting out a magazine in print form. Like, that alone is so fascinating to me. I want to know what your idea is, like what the inspiration for the magazine is.
Well, in general, or just why I'm putting out a magazine?
Because all of the above
things online. You know, that's a question that I get asked since literally day one. I launched the magazine in 2009, literally when everything was closing and crashing and probably the worst time to start any business, specifically a magazine. And I'm kind of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I always go against the grain.
Oh,
so I kind of really don't care what anybody else is doing. I kind of just want to do my own thing. And for me, I love books. I'm obsessed with books. So it just made sense to do something in the print form, especially when you get down to, you know, like images of naked women. I think it's important to still have something sort of like a physical presence. So even though the women aren't there with you, you're still holding them in a sense. And I think that's important.
That's very interesting. It's got a very particular feel to it as well. It's got a sort of mid-century modern aesthetic. I mean, somewhere between like Playboy, American Apparel, like there's so many different things that I would be like wrongly comparing it to because it's not either of those. But
no, I know. I like old things.
Okay.
I can't explain it. And I really, I'm kind of, you know, I'm not that cool, actually. I like to come out and just say that. I'm like a really big geek and like a really big nerd. And so I just kind of, you know, I'm into things that I wasn't able to experience. So, yeah, I don't really get out much.
Well, it's a very good time to be a nerd. It seems like it's so, it's such a good time to be a nerd that it's actually quite uncool to not be a nerd at this point.
I guess. I'm like a sex nerd. Does that make sense? Yeah, I'm a sex nerd.
Yeah, you're talking to a bunch of them right now. Like, pretty much everybody.
So I'm in good company. Fantastic. Yeah.
So, the what is it that you're going for, like, in each issue? What is the feel that you want to evoke? What is it that you want to make sure gets included?
Well, for me, well, it's important to say that we shoot everything on film. We do absolutely no retouching. So what you see is what you get. And the magazine, I guess you could say, is really inspired by the trials I have faced in my history. I was a stripper at one point in Tampa, Florida at Mons Venus. And then I went from that to being a burlesque dancer to being a model. And the modeling for me was the hardest. And I have, you know, modeled for like French Vogue. I've been on like, you know, covers of fashion magazines. I've been like in, you know, an Old Navy campaign. And they're always retouching me and retouching every model. And it's kind of really upsetting, especially when you're told either you're too sexy or you're too tall or you're too fat. And it's kind of like, why can't you just accept us for who we are? And it's the same in the porn industry too, because being I was a stripper as well, it's like, you know, all the girls were constantly airbrushing themselves, dyeing their hair platinum blonde. And it's kind of like, why? Other than the fact that they're trying to fit some sort of formula. So what I really want to do is break the mold and have people just learn to appreciate themselves and really find out what they're all about, especially when it comes to their sexuality, and just really kind of give them what's the word I'm looking for? Just kind of like the kick in the ass they need to sort of just be like, this is who I am. I am beautiful. I am sexy. And there's no problem with that.
I love this whole idea, because there's obviously this just acclimating we get to seeing a very specific type of image that's like, that's also beautiful. You know, the types of women that are most commonly represented and the specific type of, you know, the sort of fakeness that we've come accustomed to, like, that isn't a type of beauty, and that's perfectly fine. But like, it's mostly like sort of a learned reaction to find that as sexy. But there's that intrinsic like animal brain response to seeing a flawed human body, like as it actually is, like with skin and everything.
No, I know. And I think a lot of people actually find it quite erotic because they're just not used to seeing that, you know?
It's so taboo.
Yeah, it's kind of, but it's great at the same time.
Because it's like real actual sex. I mean, the experience of masturbating to porn is, of course, erotic conditioning, right? You're going to just get used to whatever it is that you double click or jerk off to. But right. At the same time, like when you actually are with another human body, like there are bumps, there are lines, there are things that just exist on human bodies, and those that's part of the real authentic experience of fucking. Like, it's great.
I think it's quite sexy. I mean, I love it. I'm really into, like, you know, the if you don't shave like your thighs, the like peach fuzz, like that's like one of my favorite things. So I should just do a whole magazine just on girls' thighs.
Just peach fuzz. I like it. So how do you decide which models go in there? How is there a formula for that?
I wouldn't say it's a formula per se. Well, I've been doing themes. So like the last one that we just did was the betrayal issue. There's like a really dark story behind these next, this issue and the next issue. But what I like to do is I sort of come up with a theme that is relevant to me, what I've experienced, what I'm living in. Or what my friends are doing. So there's like, you know, there's a real sense to it. And then I kind of just really like to talk to them, get to know them. And for me, it's not necessarily about looks. It's more about personality, because I really like to work with them and draw that personality out. And I really want to read in the photographs. So I would say mainly it's about who kind of just fits these little characters that I build in my head.
Is there any other sort of like aesthetic quality that people have in common? Like, because it's shot in film, because it seems to have this sort of like sort of retro feel to it. Are you looking for any other aesthetic things? Like, is it mostly going to be just like natural hair colors, and it's mostly going to be like pre tattoos and that sort of thing?
You know, I actually have tattoos myself, and I just posed in the last issue. And I made the images more modern because I have tattoos. When I create images, I actually like to make them timeless. And I feel like when you have tattoos in an image, it gets very, you can date it. So I don't have anything personally against tattoos. It's just when I create something, I want to be able to sit on a coffee table for a really long time and not make it disposable, and like as a normal magazine would. But as far as like hair color and stuff like that, no, not really. Although there is a game that I like to play called Penthouse or Playboy. And kind of I like to try to put the girls into like either or category. I think that kind of helps with also sort of creating their story as well.
I see that looking through, I just spent a little time perusing myself. I see a variety of like sort of classic pornish poses, but at least the issue that I have in front of me, there's not like the gynecological exam sort of shots. Like,
oh yeah, I don't do spread legs. Okay. Why, I don't know, actually. I'm writing an article. Well, I've actually been writing this article for probably the past 2 years on why we as women were so afraid to spread our legs. Yet that's what makes us women and who we are. And even I, you know, in every issue, I've never done spread legs just because for some reason I feel it's disrespectful. So it's like kind of like for me myself, like, why do I feel this? So, yeah, it's kind of like an ongoing thing I've been doing.
So you're sort of like in a state of evolution on the pussy shot sort of thing?
Yeah, I kind of, it's like, I want to do it. I really want to do it. But it's kind of like, how do I do this without dealing with the whole, like, it's degrading. And that's what really bothers me, because it shouldn't be degrading at all.
So then what in your mind is the difference between an erotic photo shoot that celebrates a woman's body versus an exploitative degrading shoot? Like, because obviously there's a lot of nuance to it. It's not simply like just that shot.
You know, I really, there's a lot of factors that go into it. One, it's the girl. You know, she's got to be in the right mind space of why she's doing it, why she wants to do it. And that's important. And I always ask that question. Like, just because a girl walks in the room and she's gorgeous and has, you know, an amazing body, or not even an amazing body, but just really wants to do it, if she's not in the great headspace, I'm not going to let her, you know, get in front of a camera for the magazine. And also, too, I feel like I'm not a lesbian. I appreciate women, but I'm not trying to get into their pants. And I'm not trying to say every male photographer, you know, is there to try to get in their pants either. But I would, you know, a lot of them have the fantasy of it happening on a photo shoot. Wouldn't mind if it did happen. But really, I'm there just to make them look amazing and feel powerful. And I feel like when you go into a photo shoot with that pretense, it makes the world of difference.
So going in there with this, like, sort of intention to show them in their own directed light, like, they are coming up with, like, what is happening in the scene, or how much direction are you giving to it?
Well, I kind of, like, I basically create little scenes for them, and I kind of just plop them into it, and let them start interacting with the space. And if it doesn't look good, I kind of say move on and so forth. But it's like a back and forth. It's even when I even like direct my little shorts and my films and stuff like that, I find myself just creating the space and then just putting them in and saying, all right, do what you would normally do in this area.
You mentioned that you were writing this article about the split leg stuff, like, and there's a bunch of really interesting articles in here, varying from like political stuff to sports. There's just a variety of things. How is the decision to come up with other types of content?
I kind of, again, just do things that interest myself and interest my writers. I kind of let the images speak for themselves, so I don't really feel like there needs to be tons of, you know, writing about sex. I think just because you like sex doesn't mean you're just interested in sex. And yeah, one of my favorite articles was actually about abortion. That was a pretty great one that I love. Yeah, in this past issue, we have one about the Congo, which one of my friends is doing a documentary about the war going on in the Congo. So it's, again, it's kind of just things that are in my little realm of, you know, the world.
And there's also some erotica in here as well. So that's fun.
Yeah. And I find it's actually written by a woman for women. And I think that's kind of great, too, because I don't think men would necessarily seek that out for themselves. But I feel a lot of them really enjoy it because it's like a little peek into our world and like what we like. And it's different for them. So I like to throw that in there.
So it's erotica that's written for women. But the target audience of Jacques is still
men,
right? Because you have who is the Jacques man, and it's a very specific sort of description. Is this like your ideal dude? Like, is that who you're describing?
You know, no, but I found that definitely if you want to get a guy's attention, it's easier to do it if you're sexy or if you're doing something provocative. So I feel like this is my way to kind of like get their ear. You know what I mean?
This is interesting. So just picking up this one particular issue, asking what kind of man reads Jacques. Inspired, intrepid, independent, not manscaped, but hewn from the very rock of masculinity itself. So, like, what? Who is that? Like, who is that for you? Do you know these people? Is this inspired by, like, particular folks that you've known in your life? Like, who is the Jacques man to you?
Yeah, you know, my copy editor, who I is absolutely... absolutely amazing. His name is Roland Hume. He is incredible. And to be honest, I feel he's writing descriptions of the men that I like. Now that you mention it, I feel like he's totally basing it on what I like. I'll give him that. Now that you, I've never actually had anybody ever read it to me, and yeah, he's describing my perfect man.
Okay, so that brings up a question for me. So you mentioned that, like, to get a man's attention, it's helpful to be provocative and sexy. So how do you get a woman's attention? How do you get your attention? The other people that you think would be depicted in this, like, how do you get them?
I like brains. I really like brains. Well, it's a hard one too. I think women, I get their attention with the no retouching, because they appreciate that I'm actually trying to show who we are as real women. And I find that very appealing. I don't want to be compared to some over retouched, airbrushed blonde and like Maxim. I'm not like that. How does that make me feel sexy if my boyfriend's in the corner looking like, you know, looking at that?
That's a really interesting point. So do you think that you created this so that your ideal man could, like, experience sort of more of what it's like to be, like, with you? I guess sort of that, not you necessarily specifically, but, like, for
women. Like me.
Yeah, yes. For women. So, like, so this
will
be...
Well, it's also, Jacques is basically the porn that you don't hide. It's not even porn. It's erotica. Jacques is erotica that you don't hide from your girlfriend.
Ooh,
and
interesting.
I have a lot of girls who buy it for their boyfriend. My favorite is a woman purchased a subscription for her 14-year-old son because she would rather have him look at the girls in my magazine than the girls online.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So they, you know, I guess the reaction from guys then, are you pretty much just hearing from people who are like, rah, 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 this is the best? Are you hearing anybody that's like, nah, I miss the big fake boobs? Like, what kind of feedback are you getting?
I get a lot of great feedback, actually. I don't think I've ever encountered anybody who says, I like fake tits. I think I encounter a lot of people that say, I love all tits, but I don't think I've ever encountered anybody who says, I just like fake tits.
Fair enough. Well, I guess, you know, there's plenty of room for all of us out there, you know? There's definitely a market.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah.
Hell, I have fake tits. Let's just go. There's no, yeah. But I definitely prefer the natural ones. I mean, I honestly feel like media, you know, at the point in my life when I got them done, I feel like media had a big part to do with it.
Do you regret
that's
the
why
decision?
I feel like, yes and no. I'm actually at the point in my life where I have to decide to either get them redone or get them taken out. And so I'm kind of like go back and forth. It's like, wow, I've had them for 10 years. Do I keep them? What do I do? I don't know which way to go. And of course, the magazine weighs heavily in that decision as well. But yeah, that's why I think it's important for somebody to be out there showing all different types of body types. And as I, you know, keep saying, women as we truly are. And that's, you know, short, tall, fat, skinny, everything. And I feel like if I had more of that when I got them done, I wouldn't have got them done.
So do you feel like your magazine is reflecting, like, the whole of diversity? Like, would somebody go in there and be like, definitely my interests are being depicted? Like, are you... because I've only actually had a chance to see, like, a little bit of it. Is there somebody...
Well, so basically, in this last issue, I featured from a size 4 all the way to a size 14.
Okay.
So I have, like, a really big, you know, like, big diversity of, like, women's sizes. So, yeah. Is that what you were asking? Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, at some point... We have to worry about, like, becoming, like, intentionally tokenizing, certainly, but there's also just sort of having a niche that you're marketing towards, like, in terms of, like, skin tone and in terms of, like, you know, body proportions and, like, hairiness and, you know, things like that. There's just a lot of ways to be diverse.
You have to have a bush, actually, to be in Jacques. You have to have a bush.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the rules. I have two of the girls who are going in this issue are on a bush growing period right now, so I'm like waiting for it to grow out so I can photograph them.
That's an interesting rule. Why did you put that rule in place?
I like it. I think it's sexier. I feel like, especially when you look, again, I like to go against the grain. I'm kind of, no, you can't tell me to do this because I'm just going to go do the opposite. So I like to be different. And I just feel like, you know, there's so much shaved bodies out there that it's important to sort of recognize that. And it's healthier too. It's healthier. Let's just go back to the basic premise that it's healthier to have pubic hair.
And what about, like, other types of hair? Like, are models sporting, like, armpit bush?
If they have it, yeah, why not? I have it. I love it. It's amazing.
All right. This is awesome. That's actually reminded me that trend that, like, I've been reading a few trend pieces about people that are dyeing their armpit hair.
Oh, my God. You know, it's crazy because I actually, my cover girl, she lives in California, and I'm in New York. So when I flew her out here the last time, I actually bleached her bush out and dyed it purple.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then now, like, as you said, now all of a sudden people are dyeing their armpit hair. So I was like, yeah, that's kind of awesome. I'm kind of into it.
So it's like an interesting sort of level of punkness.
Yeah. I mean, what do you got? Do you got some armpit hair yourself? Who am I talking to? Come on.
I do not have armpit hair because I'm also actively burlesquing, and in my particular case.
So what? Because you're a burlesque dancer, you can't have armpit hair?
Oh, I could, and I know people who do. It's not my personal aesthetic. I've got a particular, like, affinity for the way that they look when they're shaved, and I have seen many a hairy armpit that I was like, oh, all right, and am not at all turned off by that. But for my own body, I personally prefer that.
When did women start shaving their armpits? That's what I want to know.
That is actually an interesting question. It's like 100 to 140 years ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's actually a fairly recent invention, and it started in North America and got to, like, Europe later. But I mean, the fashion, the aesthetic of it, theoretically, is to, first of all, hair in general differentiates genders. And so when we see presence of hair on women, it's theoretically, the evolutionary psychology idea is that it makes it more masculine, even though it's totally naturally occurring, on a female body, but to most cosmetic things done on women in general, and that's makeup, that's clothing, that's everything, is to exaggerate differentiation from masculinity. So it's not necessarily an exaggeration of that individual person. It's like what makes them not masculine, because the way our society's oriented is like masculine is default, female is other, different than. And so female is the body that changes and therefore is further exaggerated. So to remove body hair is to become, you know, like a more greater exaggerated variation on that.
Interesting. So maybe, like, subconsciously, I like to really blur the lines there because I'm sort of like, you know, women can do it too. If men can do it, women can do it. End of story.
So, yeah. Or else you just see the arbitrary nature of it, because, like, putting on lipstick, putting on eyeliner is basically affecting, first of all, like, the blush of being sexually aroused. So, like, when you're turned on, you know, your cheeks get redder, your lips, like, get puffed up, etc. The eyeliner is basically to make it look like you have more eyelashes. But, like, we're exaggerating those things. And if you can see the beauty of a face without any of that stuff, if you just get to see the actual features, if you just see actual lips and, like, the plumpness of them as they exist on a real person, that sort of natural beauty has its own particularly powerful, very strong reaction.
Yeah, it does.
So, like, to be a hot chick with armpit hair means you're pretty fucking hot. That's what I'm saying about that.
Yeah.
That's my thesis.
One thing I've noticed, though, with the armpit hair, you smell faster.
Oh, yeah, because you're retaining your pheromones. They're hanging out.
But I'm also really into that. Like, I love it when people smell. I'm not into perfume, like, at all.
That's so completely, like, brain chemistry. Exactly there. Like, to be attracted to a person, like, for the long term, you have to be attracted to their smell. Otherwise, you can't. That can't work.
No, I know. No, it's great, though. But it's especially great, though, because it's like I use a lot of hot lights, which is, like, an old-fashioned, you know, it's like a on-constant, like, movie light. And they get so hot. So when you're on, like, a Jacques shoot, you have like everybody just like sweating and it's like really sticky and gross and everybody smells. It's kind of really sexy, actually.
I love this because it's so like, it's so far removed from the socialized idea of sexuality being this like completely antiseptic, like, I don't know, plastic experience. Like,
have you ever been on like a fashion set before for like a fashion shoot?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh man, like I don't know, but they're so cold and like stale. Like even from like the strobe lights that they have set up to like the studios, there's just like it's very stiff. The whole thing is like stiff, and that's why I like when I do Jacques. It's like I really want to go in the opposite of that and make it yeah. Because I feel like it translates in the photos.
So if somebody wants to model for you, do you get submissions for interest? Or are you hunting for people? Or how does that work?
Both, actually, both. I'll have girls contact me through our Instagram, Facebook. I also have like a model at Jacques-mag.com. People can contact me through. I'll even seek out girls. So it's all the above. It's just kind of like, you know, it strikes my fancy.
All right.
But what I would really love is I really, really, really would love more chocolate mamas. Okay. Seriously.
Is that a call for women of color to submit proposals to you?
No, actually, I had somebody said there, she was in front of me one day and she was like, oh, she's chocolate and she's, I just want to eat her. And I was like, this is amazing. Keep going. Give me some more. But yeah. Because I get tons of white girls. I'm like, man, okay, cool on the white girls. Like, I'm white, and I'm just sort of like, I need something different.
We know a couple of those. We'll send you some your way.
Please.
I've got a couple. I'm going to give a shout-out to my girl Gemini Rose right now. Girl, you better get on this. Don't worry. Our producer Nathan will hook this up. Don't you worry. You'll be very excited.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man, seriously, please.
So for the folks who are now like, okay, so I obviously need to read this magazine. Where can we find out more? Where can they get copies? Yada, yada, yada. Where do we send the folks to go check this out?
Okay. Well, I'll spell it for you guys because it's a little hard. So it's JACQUES-MAG.com. So it's Jacques-mag.com. And you can get it all over the world, newsstands, although this past issue is sold out on newsstands, so I think the only way you can get it is through our website right now. And then, yeah, the next issue should be coming out in, what is it, March, April? April, you'll be able to find it in newsstands, but if you can't find it, it's always better just to go to our website and buy it directly through us.
That's super cool. All right, so anything that we should be looking forward to in particular, like that, you know, like grand schemes in future issues or the trajectory of where you think you're going, like uncharted territory, anything going forward?
As far as like what, the issue concepts or just in general of where I want to take the magazine?
Yeah. What's your goal? Where are you going?
What's my goal? Yeah. I want to completely bury Playboy.
Oh, okay.
That's my goal.
All right. I don't think that's unreasonable.
They know who I am. You know who I am. They've contacted me. They know who I am. And I'm like,
What if they offered to buy you?
No way.
I'm just throwing that out there.
That's like a sellout.
Yeah, I know. Just checking to see.
A couple months ago, they contacted me to like create some content for their online stuff. And like I submitted them this like amazing PDF of like playmates chasing aliens wearing like these amazing, like, you know, like the classic bunny suits, but with like, you know, like those like 50s sci-fi, like they look like those goldfish bowls on their heads.
Yes.
So it was like that with like the bunny ears, like, so it was like in the shape of the bunny ears and like around the head, so it like perfectly fit over the ears and the head. And like chasing aliens through like a laser tag thing. It's pretty great. And they're just sort of like, I sent it to them, like, thinking, like, they'd be like, oh, my God, we have to do this immediately. And, like, I get crickets. Aww. And I was like, did you guys not like it? Because everybody else wants me to, like, put it out as, like, its own book because it was so amazing.
Well, yeah. So, you should do that before somebody else grabs that idea.
Yeah, I mean, I might as well. I just think I just might do it myself, actually.
Do it! We'll send you Gemini Rose.
The story is they know who I am. They know, and you know, they know who I am, but they're like, you know, they don't want to admit that they know who I am. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I get it.
And if they don't, and if there's somebody there who doesn't know who I am, well, then they're just doing themselves a disservice. I contacted Penthouse, and I offered them my services, and because you know they're like massively in debt, right?
Oh, I have not been following their trajectory now.
Oh, Penthouse is like massively in debt. I think it's like $54 billion. It's owned by FriendFinder, which is a company that's going bankrupt. Oh. And I actually contacted the CEO. I found out, you know, I found out who he was, and like he's got like this personal website. And I contacted him, and I was like, "You guys should hire me. I can turn Penthouse around. Look at all my stuff." And his response was, "You're welcome to buy it."
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, so Larry Flint, or like, is it somebody else at this point?
Penthouse? No, Penthouse was owned by Bob Guccione.
Oh, who is yeah.
Now dead, rest in peace. Now it was bought out. Like, I think his son, Bob Guccione's son, tried to do it for one hot minute, and then I think he went off to do Spin Magazine.
Yeah.
But, it's Penthouse is now owned by FriendFinder, which was sort of like an online dating.
Yeah, it was like website. Before Tinder. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not. They're going down. They're going under. And so, yeah, all these nudie magazines are going under. Yet mine's going. It's always going up. So it's kind of like, all right.
Because there's something in the physical copy. There's something to that.
Yeah, well, it's only not only that, but like you know, some of my girls, I have actually gone on to become playmates.
Oh, interesting!
And they make them look so awful. Even they would call me and be like, "You're not going to believe how bad I look." And I'm like, "This is Playboy. You shouldn't be saying this."
Well, I'm super glad that you exist and we have this space for real bodies. Like, I'm looking right now at some like amazing and quite real looking bodies. It's pretty fantastic.
Thank you. It's sexy, right?
I'm a fan, personally. It certainly hits me in the feels, so that's nice.
go ahead.
So I wanted to thank you because this has been super fun. I had not only a blast like perusing your periodical, but also just getting to talk to you. So this has been super great. So thank you for coming on today.
No problem. Thank you for having me. And I'll send you some copies, too. So,
oh, sweet.
Of the new one. I keep saying I'm going to do that. Sorry, we've just been really busy shooting this next issue. So it's kind of like,
Yeah, you gotta get those pictures of the naked ladies.
I know. Yeah.
So I want to thank Danielle, who's the founder, editor-in-chief, and creative director of Jacques Mag. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. And have a fantastic day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Sex with Timmery, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmery.com, Sex with Timmery on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmery_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.
Hey, you. Do you like patriarchy? Do you like the opposite of patriarchy? Do you ever find yourself patriarchal when you least expect it, like touching someone's knee without their consent? I know I have. Join me in my audio quest to forge a feminist queer landscape of people in context. Good, bad, collapsing the construction that good and bad exist in opposition. Humble Mumbles. It's a podcast. Now available on Bandcamp and iTunes.